Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with our look at the inscriptions on the doors of Jannah, today we will look at the inscription on the fourth door of Jannah. And according to the hadith, it says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, falyukrim dhayfa. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, falyukrim jara. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, falyukrim walidayh. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقول خير أو يسكت." Whosoever believes in Allah and in the last day should honor his guests, honor his neighbors, honor his parents, and speak the best or remain silent. Basic advice, probably something that we all know. But as Quran says, "Innaf at dhikra," there is always a benefit in remembering. Let's first look at honoring guests. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that when Allah wishes to do good to a family, He sends them a gift. And that gift is a guest who brings his sustenance with him and carries away with him the sins of the family. He continued to say that a guest is a guide who leads one to the path of Jannah. As a child, I remember a story that my father used to tell me about a father and son who are once the guests of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam made them comfortable, sitting opposite them and talking to them. And after they'd finished eating, Kumbar, who was Imam's servant, brought them a jug of water to wash their hands. Imam took the jug and asked the father to extend his hands so Imam could wash them for him. And the guest said, "How can I allow my Imam to serve me? It should be the other way." And Imam said, "I am a brother in Iman who is eager to serve his brother and gain the pleasure of Allah. Why do you prevent me?" The guest extended his hands and Imam told him to take his time. When it was the son's turn, Imam asked his son Muhammad Hanafiya to hold the jug and told the guest's son, "I washed your father's hands, my son washed yours. I would have washed your hands too, but Allah loves to see that when the father and son are present in a place that the father enjoys a privilege and a priority." Second attribute that is given is honoring neighbors. Imam Ali alayhi salam said that by Allah, this is in his will, honor your neighbors, for surely Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to say this until we thought that he might even give them the right to inherit from us. And just as a few pointers from Risalat al-Huquq by Imam Ali Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Here, when he talks about neighbors, he lists 12 different rights. He says you must protect everything about him when he is absent. He must be respected when present. You must help him whether he is present or absent. Do not look for bad things about him. If you find out something bad about him, cover his faults like a strong fort, not letting anyone see it. Do not sneakily listen to his conversations. When he is in trouble, do not leave him. When he is well off and happy, don't be jealous. Forgive his faults. If he does not behave well with you, then be patient. Be his shield if anyone wants to abuse him. And if you know that he will listen to your advice, then advise him secretly and not in front of others. Imam Ali alayhi salam continues about neighbors even in a graveyard. He said, "Avoid burying your dead near someone who is evil. For surely a good neighbor benefits you, not only in this world, but also in the Akhirah." Let's look at the next quality, which is honoring parents. Now, we've talked about it, but repetition is always beneficial. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah's pleasure is the pleasure of one's parents, and his anger is their anger." There was a man who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I want to take part in jihad for Islam. I want to be engaged in the battles for Islam. But my mom does not like me being separated from her and going to battle." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Go and stay with your mom. I swear by him who has appointed me as his messenger that the reward for you spending one night in the service of your mom and her being happy is greater than you performing jihad for a whole year." Now, we've got to understand things in context and in priorities. There was a man who called Zakaria once came to Imam Sadiq and said that, "I have converted and become a Muslim now." And Imam asked him what convinced him in becoming a Muslim. And he said it was the ayah of Surah Al-Shu'ara. This is Surah Al-Shu'ara rather. Surah number 42, ayah 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, thus did we reveal to you our guidance by our command. You did not know what the book was, nor did you know what Iman was. But we made the Quran a light through which we guide whichever of our abd we want. And indeed you are a guide of the right path. And Imam told him, indeed Allah has guided you to Islam and illuminated your heart with its light. Zakaria then asked Imam about whether he could live with his parents who would still bear religion. In some hadith he mentioned as Christianity. And Imam said whether they ate pork and drank wine, and he said no they didn't. So Imam said, look, take care of your mom, be good and kind to her, and as and when she breathes her last, attend to a funeral. Zakaria said that when he returned home, he honored his mom more than he used to before, as ordered by Imam. And mom, when she noticed the change in her son's behavior, said, why are you like this? Why are you so much better in your akhlaq, in your behavior? Why are you honoring me so much after you become a Muslim? And Zakaria told her what Imam had said, and she said, your religion is definitely better than mine. Guide me so that I may become a Muslim. And it is said that Zakaria brought to the basis of Islam and she became a Muslim, offered the Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha Salah of that day as taught to her by her son, and died a Muslim at midnight on that day. It's an awesome story, and we've got to understand that we are known as Muslims by our behavior, not just by a label that we give ourselves. The behavior must be impeccable. And finally, the last attribute is speak the best or remain silent. Again, it comes back to words, and I know we've spoken about this before, but it's important to understand how important these words are. In Surah Bani Israel, Surah number 17, Ayah 53, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَقُلْ أَنْ سَيَ مُحَمَّدْ to them, لِإِبَادِي, to those who are connected to us, يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ, that they should speak that which is best. Imam Dr. Tariq al-Islam was asked, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, what are the conditions of good behavior? And he said, being kind and gentle, speaking only the best, and meeting mu'mineen with a cheerful face. Imam Ali al-Islam said, the best words are those that are followed by actions. You know, many of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to put pebbles in their mouth, and they only took them out when they spoke something, and they knew that analyzed what they were going to say. Our destruction, our salvation, literally lies in our speech or our silence. And we've got to evaluate what we say before you utter them. Silence has its advantages because it's the distinguishing mark of the knowledgeable. There was a servant in the house of the Ahlul Bayt called Fizza, and it was reported that when she was free, she talked only using the ayat of Quran and no other speech. If we look again at the Charter of Rights, the Treaties of Rights by Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin al-Islam, known as Risalat al-Huquq, he says, the right of the tongue is that you consider it too noble for obscenity, accustom it to good, refrain from any meddling in which there is nothing to be gained, express kindness to people, and speak well concerning them. It's been estimated that most people speak enough in a week to fill a large 500-page book. And in our average lifetimes, that's about 3,000 volumes, or maybe 1.5 million pages. That's frightening that it's these words with which we'll be either blessed or condemned. There's an ancient Greek fable about a monster known as Proteus, who had the power of assuming many shapes and appearances. He could become a tree, or a pebble, a lion, or a dove, a serpent, or a lamb. And he didn't have very much difficulty in passing from one form into the other. And the fabled creature really reminds us of the human tongue. It can bless, it can curse. It can express praise, or it can whisper slander. It can spread a word of encouragement, or it can spread vindictive hatred. And I'd like to end with some hadith of the Ma'sumin, where they say a person is hidden under his tongue. Do not begin a conversation without first greeting the person you're talking to. Keep away from a conversation which is without a name or object, for it lowers your position. Wait to speak at the right opportunity. Many speak the truth, but not at the right moment, and therefore have to face disrespect. Do not argue with foolish and ignorant people, because they'll hurt you with their nonsense.
And you know, the destructive force of words is summed up in a poem. And I've mentioned this before, but like I said, repetition is beneficial. The poem is entitled, Who Am I? I am more deadly than the whistling bullet from a gun. I win without killing. I tear down homes, I break hearts, I wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity is pure enough to stop me. I have no regard for truth. I have no respect for justice. Neither do I have mercy for the defenseless. My victims are numerous as the sands of the sea, and often they are just as innocent. And do you know who I am? I am a gossip. Words. So important to know what we say. Inshallah, we will continue with the inscriptions on the door of Jannah.